This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
You are listening to the number one horse podcast in the world. Here's your entertaining look at the horse world and the people in it.
Well, good Monday morning, everybody. I am Glenn the Geek in Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings in Norman, Oklahoma. And you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for September 9th, episode 2264, brought to you by Omega Alpha Equine. Good morning, horse people.
It's Monday.
Monday is my favorite time of year.
This is Horses in the Morning with your lovable hosts, Jamie Jennings.
I am the queen. You listen to me.
I'm sorry that people are so jealous of me, but I can't help it that I'm popular.
Glenn the Geek.
You look especially radiant today, Your Grace.
I'm going to do a terrific show today because I'm good enough, and doggone it, people like me.
Happy Monday.
Coming up on today's Omega Alpha Monday fraught with technical issues edition, champion vaulter Mikhail Proctor is going to stop by and explain how he has taken career multitasking to a whole new level. And in our obvious advice for horse folks, we're going to cover things that you should say, not say to your farrier. And then First World Equestrian Problems is going to even out the playing field like a threesome of nine-year-olds stomping divots. Stay tuned for the parade, folks.
Thank you, Jennifer. Hey, I'm happy to report that the horses on the islands off of North Carolina are reported safe after the hurricane. On Thursday, as Dorian approached, several horses could be seen swimming to higher ground at the Rachel Carson Reserve. Apparently, you can see that from land. You can see the island and you can observe the horses. So they saw them. And I don't know if you saw the videos, but there were videos of them going to higher ground as the storm was coming in. Isn't it amazing that they just know that that's what they need to do? And yet we're told to evacuate 5,000 times and we don't.
Yeah, should take a lesson from the horses.
It's incredible when you think about Mother Nature at work there. And they just knew they needed to get higher ground and they hunker down and they get through. And it was wicked on the islands off North Carolina there. Apparently, some of the other herds have been checked on. There's one at Ocracoke Island. They checked on those horses, and they seem to be fine. So they haven't seen them all, but so far, the ones they've seen have survived, and they're doing okay. It is amazing.
Yeah, you'd never see a herd of wild horses living in a trailer park in Oklahoma. It's just a recipe for disaster.
And you know what's funny? Not funny. What's sad is, in North Carolina, they had a bunch of tornadoes in this last hurricane. And where did it hit the trailer? It's like they know.
Who knows.
It's like they know. Let's go for the trailer park right there.
Yeah. Every time. I don't know why.
There was an interview with one lady who was in her trailer when it got picked up and moved around the trailer park by the tornado. And how terrifying would that be? She was fine, by the way. She walked out the front door, which apparently landed back on its the right side up. So.
It's just crazy, y'all. See, what happened was I was sitting in my trailer and I was minding my own business. And then all of a sudden I felt it like lift up off the ground and like turn around. Now, I don't know what was happening.
I wish I had the video. You sound just like her, actually.
That's because I've seen her, because she's in every state in the South.
That's right. Your relatives sounded just like that.
I'm kin to her, okay?
Daily Winnie time. I have a lot of these. Well, happy birthday to our auditors, Aubrey Moore, Kelly Peterson, and ex-hosts of the WEG show, Samantha Clark, who was over covering Burley, I noticed, Alex Hamilton, Lori Johnstone, and It's Jemmy's birthday tomorrow, and Jemmy wanted me to make it clear to everybody. And this is the exact opposite of I know what I'm supposed to do, but she gave me permission and actually told me to do this. She wants the whole world to know that tomorrow, and of course we're talking about Jemmy, our producer here on the morning show, and also many of our other shows. She is 40 tomorrow. She wants the world to know that she is 40. She is not a teenager. She's getting tired of not being taken seriously and getting carded every place she goes. So she just wants the world to know that. So I'm letting you all know.
So I'm going to write that down and put that in our First World Problem segment that's coming up in a little bit. I'm so young looking and pretty.
You know what really bothers her is she says, I go in business meetings and people think I'm 22 and they don't take me seriously. I'm 40.
So. That's actually a problem with being short. Is
oh really
people
short and
oh
young looking?
Well, I don't have the young looking problem, but short, I take the cake. So I get so tired of people talking to me like I'm a child. Do you know that last night I was at Lucas's baseball practice? Okay, mind you, I played fast pitch softball and was like recruited to college for it. Then I also worked for the Atlanta Braves for a number of years.
Oh, that's right.
And my child is 6 years old on a baseball team. And I get so frustrated about these, like, tell them the rule. So finally I walk out on the field to practice yesterday and there's bats everywhere. It's just like a big mess. And I go to pick up some bats and the coach looks at me and he goes, are you going to be our bat girl? I will punch you in the mouth. You have no, I know more about baseball. I've forgotten more about baseball than you know, coach. Okay. Don't you be, are you going to be our bat girl? You know what? I'm out of here.
Okay, that's funny.
That was just an awkward opening line.
Yeah.
Doesn't he know how to say hello to people he doesn't know comfortably? And that was his attempt at humor. And
or he really needed a bat girl. I don't know.
He's like 6'7", and I'm 5'2", and I walk out there to get the bat. Are you your bat girl? You're so sweet. Okay, moving on. Birthdays. Yeah, happy birthday, everybody.
Happy birthday, everybody.
So we didn't do a show on Friday because Glenn was sick and he, you know how men are. Jennifer, is Glenn one of those men that's like, oh my God, I'm dying. And they have like a stuffy nose. Be honest.
Well, if you have not recently read The Princess and the Pea, go back and reread that.
Okay. You married that. Okay. So, but I was going to give my daily whinny out to you, Glenn, because I know when you are just a little tiny bit under the weather that you're actually dying. So I bothered you mid-morning and I said, I need you to do my freestyle music. I've got it. I need my third bird makeover freestyle music. I need to put it together and I don't know how to do it. I can't do it. Can you do it? And Glenn, in his distraught, sick, sad state, he put my music together and I've been listening to it and practicing all weekend. So thank you very
good
much.
Choices.
Boss.
I'm not going to say what they are because they're probably top secret, but good choices.
Thank you. I think I'm going to have you work on it one more time. So you're going to be a daily winnie because I'm preempting the next daily winnie by having you go back.
I thought there would be some work on it. Actually, I the transition could be better, I think. But
okay. Well,
yeah.
So you liked it.
I did like it. And I like the order you put it in. I wouldn't have worked in the other order.
Okay, well, we'll talk about it afterwards because
I think it needs something, though. I do think it needs something. I'm not sure what.
It needs it to go back to that first song at the end just for a second because it needs to be 5 minutes long.
Does it really need to be 5 minutes?
Your freestyle is supposed to be, it can be up to 5 minutes.
That's a long freaking time.
Yeah, no kidding. Talk about the stress. Hi, entertain everybody.
You know, 5 minutes doesn't seem like a lot.
Crazy horse.
Until you're out there trying to do something with your horse, freestyling for 5 minutes. That's a long time.
5 minutes. Give a public speech for 5 minutes. See how long that feels. Yes. Okay. And now it's like, hey, bring out this like little fire breathing dragon that you got off the racetrack 9 months ago. And let's see how well you can entertain everybody. Okay, so yeah, so I've got the music and Glenn did it in his very sad sick state. So thank you very much for making
I had a combination of bronchitis, Lyme disease, and antibiotics, which all three of them together do not make a good combination, by the way. And nobody wanted to hear me coughing and hacking on Friday morning. Nobody.
Hey, you told me I was getting a paid day off. I'm in.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah, you know,
cool.
when I text her and do, you know, I'm actually surprised I don't with my Lyme disease that I don't have more days over the years. It's not been that many, actually. But when I do text her and say, okay, you're getting a day off, it's not your fault, you're getting paid, she's like, she never argues for some reason.
Well, I actually needed to talk to you guys because I had something monumental happen to me last week. Do you have, I need the baby Daily Winnie again, okay?
Baby Daily Winnie? Okay,
yeah.
We can do that.
You know how hard it was to not post about this? Okay, so we're getting our house built and my in-laws are over and we're all like walking around the house site because it's framing and they're doing all this kind of work on the house. And I notice that the horses are running around and I realize it's because baby Zara, who is not a baby anymore, she is a slutty teenager, is in heat. And the boys on the other side of the fence are going crazy. So Groot and baby Stanley are out together and Drax and Zara are out together. And for some reason, she's just all over there. They're just all up in her chili and they are. So she starts running around playing hard to get, I guess. And Drax on one side of the fence and Groot on the other side of the fence start galloping around and racing. Well, little Stanley doesn't understand what's going on because he's only 5 months old, and Groot turns on him and chases him and starts chasing him around. Now, I'm at the house site and I'm like, okay, I'm going to go get them all. So I start walking up and all of a sudden I see something that is crazy and awesome and terrifying at the same time. Baby Stan Lee took two steps being chased by baby Groot and jumped out of the field. Jumped out of my property into the neighbor's property.
He
is 5 months old. And do you remember that I should have known something was coming like this because because a video of him jumping the jump, he just jumps. And this is probably like a not quite 4 foot. It's still the crappy kind of wire fencing, but it's like not dangerous wire, but it's just still a wire fence. And he canters right up to it and jumps out. And then he's in the neighbor's property, who the neighbors don't like anybody very much. And so I have to go over to their house. And so you think, and so I'm like, oh my God, Stanley got out. He jumped. You know, I'm like sprinting, like running through the pasture. And I go, I'm trying to find his like tiny baby halter. Then I have to run out and I have to jump the wire fence to go get him. And what do you think he's doing while he's on the opposite side of the fence? And the other horses are galloping around like crazy,
eating the neighbor's flowers.
And he's like, hey, what are you, where, what, huh, how, what, why am I over here? So this baby that I've been teaching him to lead, thank God, I had to lead him out to the main road and walk him probably 75 yards down a busy road to get him back to the front gate of my property. And he was perfect the entire time. All the other horses running around like jerks, and he was perfect. So baby Stanley gets a Daily Winnie as well because
yeah, but you're gonna need a new fence because he's figured
well,
out.
Well, it's funny. All I drive is the dually, and so we're looking at like some really old cars to get me like an old car so I don't have to drive the dually everywhere. And guess what? That money is now going into fixing the fence. I'm like, post on that car, babe. We have to get a fence. So the fence guy's coming out today to take a look at the place.
Well, our first guest, who is a former show jumper who would really like to have your horse.
Oh, God, he's going to be awesome.
But he turned vaulter and just won the male gold individual championship at the American Vaulting Association National Championships using his own horse, who's named Goliath. We have Mikhail Proctor on. Hey, Mikhail, how are you?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Good. So when they jump the fence out of the field at 4 or 5 months, that's a good sign, huh?
I would say so.
It depends on who you ask.
Yeah, it depends.
Don't ask my husband.
Your husband's not agreeing with that. Mikhail, congratulations. Well done.
Thank you so much.
So how did a show jumper turn vaulter? you know, most of our audience, or almost all of our audience, are riders, and they've done vaulting unintentionally, mostly off the horse. So how did that happen? What was the inspiration to go from show jumping to vaulting?
I was a riding instructor, and at our barn, they decided that they wanted to start a vaulting program. And so there were four of us on staff, and we did a little clinic, just to learn the basics of how the sport works. And they all looked at me and they said, "Well, you seem to be the best at this, so you're going to teach it." And the rest of the history.
So everybody else backed up. You were still standing and said, "Oh, I guess I'll do it." But you had a gymnast background, and a lot of vaulters come from the gymnast side. So that had to help.
Yes.
Yeah. So now, it is unique. A lot of times, vaulters are not using their own horses. They either borrow horses or they're using a team horse. But you've actually trained your own and used your own horse. That is kind of unusual. Tell us about Goliath.
He's definitely one of a kind. I actually adopted him from the Kentucky Equine Adoption Center. I did an internship out there back when I was in college. And I just remember when he arrived, it was definitely kind of love at first sight. And I decided to take him home. I didn't have a discipline in mind with him. I just wanted a horse that I could train myself. He had an abusive history, was very afraid of people and just all the things. And it took just a lot of TLC, but he trusted me. And so I just taught him the basics of riding. And then that very same year, right at the end of the year, I just put the vaulting tack on him just to see what would happen. And he took to it like it was nothing. And so we just kind of continued from there. And it just turned into a sport he really enjoyed. And I started just doing it, just me and him. And then eventually he became the main horse for our whole team. And so he's brought along a number of vaulters here locally, and he's even had vaulters on him from around the country and some international vaulters as well. So he's kind of in his prime right now and just still working up the levels. So for me, I'm just very, very proud of him for everything he's accomplished.
As a show jumper, and then you're like going to become this vaulter, where do you start? Do you Google how to be a vaulter or how to teach vaulting or how to train a vaulting horse? Is there like a web page for that? What do you do? There's no book.
I did a clinic with Devin Matozo. He's probably one of our more decorated international vaulters from here in the U.S. And I learned very early on that, you know, if this was something that I was going to do, that I really needed to kind of put forth my whole effort into it. You know, I had an off the track thoroughbred that I was, you know, working up the jumping levels with. And it just became to a point, it was like, if you're going to do upper level vaulting or jumping, you kind of have to pick one because there's just not enough dollars and we've all been there. So I just decided if that was what I was going to do, you know, I watched a lot of YouTube videos, just trying to see some things. I think the biggest thing is that I understood gymnastics, and so I understood how the human body worked, and it was just kind of figuring that out with the horse. You know, horses are something that have always just come very naturally to me to work with, and you know, it's just kind of combining two of my passions together, and I thought that I mean, so far it's turned out for the better.
A lot of our listeners love to try things we talk about here on the show because we talk about a little bit about everything in the horse world. Do you encourage people? How do they try vaulting for the first time? If there's something they think they might be interested, you know, how do you start? It does seem daunting.
The best place to start is definitely finding a vaulting program. We actually have, with the American Vaulting Association, we've got a list of, there's over 100 clubs nationwide. So you can just kind of look at that list and find one that's closest to you. And the thing that I really love about the vaulting world is that it's just one big family. Kind of how you mentioned before, you know, there's people that borrow horses. That's not something that is very common with the other disciplines. And so that's something that I definitely kind of bank on, especially if I'm going to be, you know, doing competitions on the West Coast. And instead of trailering my horse all the way through the mountains, I have horses over there that I have access to. And it just makes it that much more feasible for a vaulter to keep competing. But yeah, definitely finding, you know, a club that already has some horses that's already established. And then all of them are very, very welcoming to new people. And they, you know, the thing with vaulting also is that you move at your own pace. There's some clubs that, you know, a lot of them will compete, but they also have a whole separate side to their program that are strictly in it just for the fun and recreational aspect of it. And so there's really something for everyone. You know, I would say coming from a riding background, it definitely is something that helps you riding. This is something kind of over in Germany. A lot of those high-end riders, whether it be eventing, dressage, and even jumping, a lot of them have vaulting in their history. You know, kind of before they really hit the saddle, they're learning about that harmony with the horse. And as you can see, they're very successful on the international stage in almost every discipline.
You know, it's interesting.
A
you
lot
say
of it is coming from.
It's interesting you say that. I've talked to many professional riders in different disciplines who've taken vaulting lessons, and they say the thing it really helps with is balance. They just learned a ton about balance doing vaulting, and that backs up what you just said there. It's so true.
Mm-hmm. Yes, very much so. And that's just kind of the cool thing about it. It is something that's just totally different. I mean, there's not, even at your first time, you know, the thing that's also really cool about vaulting is we kind of grade everything on the same scale. So it's very similar to that of like a gymnastics competition. You're getting a score, you know, 1 through 10. But that scale doesn't change based off of your level. It's just 10 is the best that they've seen and following the exercise, and 1 would be, you know, a little bit lower than that. And I think the thing that's really cool about that is even on your first time as a vaulter, you're able to do some of the moves that these international vaulters, you know, the ones that are at the World Equestrian Games, are also doing. You know, it may not be as, you know, high of a level as what they are doing, but the move itself is actually the same. And I think that that's really, really cool. You know, even coming from a show jumping background, you know, as a rider, you're not going to be jumping, you know, for months. You've got to really learn a lot of the things with all of your flat work and your balance and coordination before you start taking the horse over fences. But the thing with vaulting is even within your first time, you've actually done what has happened on the world stage. So I think that's another really cool aspect to it.
When do you have time to do any of this? You're an equine anesthesiologist. Are you still going for to become a vet too?
No, I'm going. I'm in vet tech school currently, and I'm hoping to get my specialty in anesthesia. I think one of the things that I really enjoy doing, even coming from the riding background, is I love to teach. And that's kind of what I want to do with it, you know, continuing working, you know, in whatever clinic will take me, but then being able to travel and help other techs that are interested in the anesthesia field. And I don't know, just teaching has always been something that's come natural to me. And so that's one thing that I really do want to continue. But basically when I do it, you know, I do my anesthesia during the day, and then usually in the evening, that's when I go see my horse. So there's a couple days, you know, we'll vault out of the week. I'll trailer him to another facility where my students will come, and they all get to vault on him as well. And then we kind of plan out our show season usually pretty early on, and then that'll let us know where we're going to travel to.
Well, I'm going to say that if anybody ever gets a chance to see a vaulting competition, definitely go do it. I saw it in Lexington. That's where I got my first exposure to vaulting, was the WEG in Lexington, which was just fun to watch in that stadium especially. And then I got to see at the WEG here, this last WEG, although it was hot as hell in that indoor, the time vaulting was going on.
It definitely was.
Oh my God. It was like 1,000 degrees in there. So it was much more pleasant in Kentucky when we were there. But it is so much fun to watch, and you guys are so dedicated to what you do and have to be. I mean, or you're going to die. So, I mean, you have to be. And the focus and concentrations is incredible. I'm so glad that in your first gold competition, you take the win. That is so cool. So congratulations for that. WEG in your future, if we have one, is that the hope and the dream?
That's one of the goals. I said I think for vaulting, it's never really been about winning for me. I've just ever since I was a little kid, I've always wanted to perform on the international stage. I didn't care what sport it was in, but it seems like vaulting actually might be that kind of dream come true. And so if it's at a World Equestrian Games, that would be great. Another competition I really enjoy is the Aachen show that they usually do over the summer. That's just a very electric crowd over there. And it would just be really cool just to represent my country. It doesn't, you know, winning has never been the goal for me. It's a nice little incentive. It does feel great, but that's not why I do it. You know, I really love, it's really all about the connection that you have with these horses. I mean, they're just amazing athletes, and just all the work that goes into that kind of 1 minute performance is, it's just amazing when it all comes together. So, that's really why I do it. I do it for fun, and I just enjoy the connections and even the ones that I'm continuing to build, even with other vaulters clubs, other horses. I mean, all of it just makes you a better equestrian all around. And so, you know, while my body will allow me to do it, I'll keep going. And then I think at that point of, you know, kind of retiring from the competitive side of vaulting, I think I'll always be involved with the sport in some way, form, or fashion. But I do see myself going back to the jumping world and just seeing what else I can do with that.
Well, I don't know that we can add anything to that. That's well said. So, Mikhail Proctor, thank you so much for joining us. Is there a place that people can follow your career?
I think right now on social media, you can find us under Fleur-de-Lis Vaulters. We're on Instagram and Facebook, so usually all of our competitions and places that we travel, we like to post it on there. We've got, you know, a few sponsors that are supporting us for the year, and, you know, we always try to give shout outs to them as well. So that's one place people can follow us. And then, yeah, and then a lot of it, even just with the American Vaulting Association, you know, we're all very involved with that. So you'll definitely be able to see, you know, not even just me, but even some of the other vaulters, you know, that are preparing for their next careers for next season. It's just a very cool thing to watch. And everyone is just so humble to, you know, talk about, you know, where they are, where they're going, and, you know, what they hope to do. And I think that's kind of the consistency that you'll see, you know, across our sport, is that, you know, everyone is there to help each other. We're not about, you know, with the egos and this, that, and the other. I think, you know, a lot of other disciplines can probably say that they've seen that. But in vaulting, that's just one thing that makes our shows and competitions so much different. It's just kind of a more extended family reunion when we go to all of our competitions. It's just so great to see everyone.
It is true, having been in the press side interviewing competitors that come out, especially during WEG, and the vaulters were always the nicest and they just would love to talk to you. And we didn't always see that in the other disciplines. So it was always a joy to work that side and to chat with you guys. So, Mikhail, thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate it, and good luck.
You're very welcome. Thank you so much for having me.
All right. Take care.
Good luck.
What a nice guy. It was interesting watching the vaulters watch each other. They truly were cheering for each other. And maybe, do you think it's because it's a much smaller community that it's more tight knit? I think we just lost Jamie.
Oh, here I am. I'm back.
There, Jamie's back.
Okay.
Can you hear me?
Yeah. There
okay.
You go.
Sorry.
Yep.
Yeah, I think because it's a small community, and it's also kind of dangerous.
Yeah. Did you ever try it? Would you ever try it?
I would have loved to try it when I was younger. Now I don't bend as well as I do.
Maybe if you took one of the products from Omega Alpha, you would bend better.
I might bend better. Let's see. What do they have? Joints and muscles and ligaments and tendons. Do you have a Omega Alpha commercial ready?
Yes, I do, and it's about that very topic.
Perfect.
Connected to the shoulder bone connected to the leg bone. Leg bone connected to the foot bone.
The leg bone connected to the foot bone is a humorous reminder of how things are connected.
and dependent upon each other. But all humor aside, the health of your horse's muscles and bones are key to his overall health and performance. At Omega Alpha Equine, they know just how important your horse's entire musculoskeletal system is to his health and happiness, so they offer a variety of different all-natural liquid supplements. Omega Alpha Equine, all-natural supplements based on science to help all of your horse's connected parts stay healthy and perform at their best. Ask for Omega Alpha Equine supplements at your local tack and feed supplier, or you can visit them online at OmegaAlphaEquine.com.
All right, we're back. You can also follow them on Facebook as well. They're always posting good stuff there. All right, let's see. We still have Jamie with us, right?
I'm here. Turns out your mic should be on.
How long you were in radio before you did
very
that?
Very technical. Sorry. What are we doing?
It was about 20 years, isn't it, between the two, radio and this? Just saying.
God, it's about 20 years this year. Jeez.
Horse and Hound had an article, 14 things you should never say to your farrier. So I want you all to think about the things that you've said to your farrier that you maybe shouldn't have, and whether your farrier is still working with you or not. And you know what? Having talked to farriers on the show for a number of years, I think these are all probably about right.
Let me start by saying things that you should have for you. If you have a good farrier, and they will come out when they need to come out, and they will attack on shoes in emergencies, and they are and they're good at their job, you have got to treat that person well. I mean, take care of them like they are, you know, a part of the family. So they're going to be out there. Have a clean work environment. You know, if your horse poops, clean it up. Have a good clean surface, because they put that foot down and pick it back up. They don't want to have to brush it off every single time. Have that clean. Be, under shade. I turn a fan on for Mackenzie. I'm like, hey, but whatever you need, I bring water out. I'm just like, how comfortable can I make you? Please don't break up with me. It's like, treat it like that high school boyfriend that you just worked really hard to keep, girl. Okay. Because it is important. So this is a list. Yeah. That Glenn found of 13 things you should never say to your farrier.
Do you remember when we had the farrier on and we were shocked when they said, we go to a lot of houses, we have to go get the horse out of the field. Shocked at that.
It happens. It happens. My farrier in Phoenix said there's one place she goes that doesn't have shade. And I was like, nope.
In Phoenix?
You're fired.
It's only 120 in the shade.
I know. She's like, I avoid going there in the summer. I'm like, summer's like 9 months.
Well, Horse and Hound says one of the things you shouldn't do is when your farrier gets there, say, hey, I bought another horse. It's a Shetland Shire unbroken, unhandled 2-year-old fresh off the moors. You don't mind doing it while you're here, do you?
It's
always a good idea to warn them when you have another horse before they come out.
My farrier in Phoenix, I got Thor, and I was like, I got a Mustang! And she was like, he better hold his own feet up before you expect me to trim him.
I had a Hackney. We used to have to, we used Kava Kava on that Hackney, the first Hackney I had, because he used to stand straight up on two legs. He used to be a show pony, and apparently, you know, who knows what they did to him. But Kava Kava did the trick. It kept him on all 4 feet while she was doing, because she was threatening to not do him anymore.
Yeah,
it's kind of dangerous. This is one. I thought I'd leave him out. We just talked about this. Until you get here, it's such a nice day. Can you mind getting him out of the 8-acre field?
It shouldn't take more than an hour or so. I like the one before this one. Sorry, I should have told you that he kicks a little bit. Are you okay down there on the ground? I have trained horses like this. Like, people think that they're like, let's see what's going to happen. Like, I should have told you that he'll kick you, okay, if you, like, get behind him at all. So, yeah, let them know as much as possible what is going to happen.
If you want him back. I've got to go now, so when you've finished, could you put her rug on, put her brushing boots on, her overreach boots, and fly spray, and turn her out in the far field all the way in the back for me, please? Do people really do this?
I think it would be interesting to have this list with a farrier on, because I do think that stuff like this happens. Side note,
Well, they're not a babysitter. They're doing your horse's feet.
Yeah, my farrier is a woman, and she's very attractive. And I asked her, I said, do you ever get hit on while you're... I said, are you ever uncomfortable? Does anybody ever make you feel bad, uncomfortable? She was like, no. So she went home, and her boyfriend, who's also a farrier, she went home and talked to him, and...
He gets hit on all the time.
Oh, I was like, does he? She's like, no. Oh, yeah. Somebody made a blog about him and had photos of his butt. And she was like, I didn't even know that until we talked about it. I went home and asked him. And she was like, yeah, it was a couple years ago. And this lady posted this blog about...
Well, we've had this discussion over the butt. Years.
Yeah.
There's whole Facebook pages about farriers' butts. And it ain't girls.
That's like hashtag me too, farriers. Yes. Y'all need to unite. Or y'all probably like it. I don't know.
We've had this discussion about how many farriers have slept with their clients. And it wasn't the farrier doing the... pursuing.
No. I did have a farrier ask me if I wanted to trade out.
Oh, really?
And I was like, excuse me, what'd you say? And I just moved to Phoenix, and it was a new farrier, and he was coming over to Chad.
I thought
my
this
farm.
Would have been much longer ago.
No, it was not. I never talk about it, but he was like, any chance you'd be interested in trading? And I'm like, what do you need? He's like, we can just go inside. And I was like, oh, you're fired. Bye-bye.
He's used that line. It must work.
I guess it does, but that's not a very good business practice.
You think?
Amy, you're not making a whole lot of money.
Besides, how do you pay the bills?
And he smells really bad, and like, take a shower. Gross. I don't.
That's the part I always wondered about, is they smell bad, but that must be attractive to some women. I don't know.
That's why I told Mackenzie's my farrier's boyfriend, I'm like, you better marry her, because nobody else is going to tolerate your smell, because she smells the same as you. Y'all are perfect.
Abby, who comes on from the Chronicle and does the history segments, her husband's a farrier. We're going to have to ask her about this when she comes on next time. Yeah, we'll have to make it.
You ever like, oh God, go take a shower. You smell like a hot shoe.
It must be great working outside all day. Say that to your farrier as he's out in the 120 degrees or snow up to his waist.
I don't know if horse people would say something like that.
No.
Because we're outside too when the farrier's there.
God, I thought I was
going
to die yesterday. It was so hot here in Florida and humid. It was hot. I thought I was going to. Jennifer went out to a baby horse show and she said everybody was dying.
Yeah, they told me September in Oklahoma would be nice. They lied. Probably somebody's going to say, this is the hottest it's ever been. It's never this hot in Oklahoma. Just like it never rains as much, never this windy. All of these are lies.
Now, number 7, you've done before.
Yeah. Well, I didn't follow it up with the last sentence they have. Number 7 is, oh my God, my horse lost his shoe. Can you please come out like today? Like, in the next hour.
Yeah, I have a show. I'm leaving for
an hour. How about
tonight?
Can you come tomorrow morning? They added, you're not very flexible, are you? I would never be snarky with a farrier or a vet. Never be snarky. But the next one I have also done too, but it's probably because I didn't forget. I just didn't have any. And that's number 8 is, oh, sorry, I forgot to bring you any money. I'll pay you next time.
Well, maybe that's where the trade comment came from.
That guy I paid, though. I'm talking about when I was like younger and hotter and in my 20s, I probably would have traded out. Nobody asked me back then.
Oh, there's been a few times that we've owed our farrier, I know, over the years, especially when we had a lot of horses.
Did all of a sudden your bill disappear to zero? Because you might want to talk to Jennifer about that. Your tally has been zeroed out. How'd that happen? Your wife took care of it. She paid it.
All right. All you guys listening, keep that in mind. I like the next one. And again, this is, I can almost see somebody that doesn't know much doing this one. And that's putting a good coat of hoof oil on their feet just before the farrier gets there. Doesn't she look good?
God, they hate that.
Ugh. Because it gets everywhere.
It's like. Gross. I have not done this, but I have been very close. Did you already put the shoes on? Like, I needed stud holes or quarter clips. Actually, this happened already. Mackenzie put quarter clips on the horse, and I came out, and I was like, oh, no, I don't like like those. Oh, well, too late. But this one says, can you take them off and like start over again?
Yeah, for double the money.
Yeah, exactly.
One of the others here. Thank goodness you're here. My last farrier refused to come back after the third concussion.
Such a wuss.
Yeah. Wimp.
This is a good one. She lost that shoe like a month ago, but I just figured I'd leave it off until like her other feet needed doing just to catch them all up, you know. No, no, don't do that. And number 14, wash the dang mud off your horse's feet.
Oh, that was one of my, the first farrier we had, Steve was his name, and he came out for years. He was such a nice guy. He used to spend the whole day with us. And Steve used to complain about that bitterly. He said, I can't tell you, and it was in Pennsylvania where they do have mud season, I can't tell you how many places I go where the horse's feet and legs are just covered in mud, and they don't clean them off. It was one of his biggest pet peeves. He was also, he would make the shoes right there. He was one of the last farriers we ever had that made shoes and would make them right there. He never used keg shoes. He always made them.
Oh, well, that's exhausting.
Which was kind of cool to watch. I mean, yeah. It was kind of cool to watch. He was old school blacksmith. You know, he really was.
No wonder he spent all day with you. Yeah. All day to do two horses.
He used to hang out, have lunch. I mean, yeah. I mean, he was old school blacksmith. Not too many of those left anymore.
No, but that's cool though. Yeah, this list is this great. It makes me think of right when we moved here. All I had was a running shed, and it rained every day for like 6 months. So I took the farrier in and my vet. They're still with me since I moved here 10 months ago. I said we're gonna laugh about this someday. We're gonna laugh about this someday unless you quit before I get the barn built. So now as she comes in, I'm like, here's your fan. Here's your ice cold water. And I brought you pina colada and there's like a little umbrella in it. And it's just going to sit here on this table next to you whenever you're ready. Thank you very much for being here. Thank you for not quitting a long time ago.
Well, I had somebody email me the other day, and I was just looking for the email, and I cannot find it, so I apologize. I don't know your first name. Somebody emailed and asked, you used to play a song about John Wayne. And it was Dan Roberts, by the way, is the answer to that. Yes, I haven't played this in forever. We used to play this in honor of your dad because your dad loved John Wayne.
John Wayne. Yeah, play it. I must hear it.
Yes, it's called I Miss John Wayne. This was by Dan Roberts, and we're going to play that for you. We're going to come back with more show. What do we got? We have some first world problems, and we have some wacky news. We have a lot more coming up. We have to give the Burley Report, tell you what happened over there, one of the biggest events in the world, all coming up in just a minute.
Been looking for something that's missing in our world, and I wonder if my search is all in vain. Where's the good guys? Where's the bad guys? Where has law and justice gone? Lord, how I miss John Wayne. All alone in the saddle with guns blazing in each hand, with true grit in his teeth he held the reins. He charged hard into battle where a lesser man he would have run. Lord, how I miss John Wayne. He never backed down from a job that he had to do, and he could cross the line from talking with a clenched fist attitude. He knew right was right and wrong was wrong, but today they seem the same. Oh Lord,
John Wayne. Never thought I'd see the day, but his time has come and gone. And now a man's man, he's looked upon with shame. What we're needing in this world today is men with the guts to back up what they say. Lord, how I miss John Wayne. He never backed down from a job that he had to do, and he could cross the line from talking with a clenched fist attitude. He knew right was right, wrong was wrong, but today they seem the same. Oh Lord, how I miss John Wayne.
Well, there have been a lot of cowboys who have come and gone. Men like Gene Autry, Roy Rogers, Johnny Mack Brown, Tex Ritter, Bob Wills and his Texas Playboys, Jimmy Stewart, Bob Nolan, Cisco Kid, Tom Mix, Buck Jones, old Walter Brennan, Bob Steele, Ray Reed, Bob Crosby, Hopalong Cassidy, Gabby Hayes, Ben Johnson, of course old Louis L'Amour. They're all cowboy heroes, and in many ways they're the same. But Lord, how I miss John Wayne.
That is Dan Roberts. Lord, how I miss John Wayne. Hey, Glenn, I did something.
No, what?
So
why, when you say that, do I panic?
It's not you that has to panic.
10 years, that's why.
It's not you that has to panic. So this will go somewhere.
I think I have this remote husband panic every time you say something like that, because I feel for Chad. I just know what he's going through.
So we were driving home, and I like just had my phone up. He was driving. I was looking on Facebook, and my dream saddle was being sold on Eventing Tack Trader on Facebook. My dream saddle,
didn't
Glenn.
Did you just get a saddle? Or
no, I didn't just get a saddle. I have a jump saddle. It's like 10 years old, and which is awesome, and I still use it, but it's a medium wide, and I need a medium for all these racehorses, and I really like Devacues, and I've always wanted the monoflap Devacues at Chiberta. And they had one.
And they were practically giving it away.
It was in my size, Glenn. My exact
seat size.
And it was
almost free.
And it was half the price. It's like this chick was like unloading her stuff. So it was like half the price of its value. So it's like it was free, Glenn. It's like it was. It's like they paid me to take it. So I had just been posted.
That one still work on Chad, or is it getting
worse? It's like it was. So I'm like, babe, oh my God, my dream saddle is for sale on Facebook right now. And like, I've got, it's like half the price it's supposed to be. And it's like, they're giving it away. And I'm just, oh my God, I want it so bad. And then all the saddle doesn't fit, Groot. And then I have to go to the makeover. And I the saddle fit. And then he's like, wow.
Oh, did he look at you and say, you didn't realize I'm building you a house right now, right?
We had a long discussion about it, and it ended up in me just buying it and paying for it myself. I was like, okay, that's a nice conversation that we've just had. I already PayPal'd them. So it's coming today. But here's the point, is that it's coming without stirrup leathers or a girth. So I feel like Total Saddle Fit is about to be my new best friend because I don't have the Total Saddle Fit jump leathers and I'm in need of them in a brown because
them,
the saddle is in brown. They do. I have the dressage ones. And so I'm going to have to get the Total Saddle Fit jump leathers for my new Devakuma. It's coming today. It was supposed to be here Friday and it got to, I'm like following it and tracking it. Like, it's like, you know, my blood pressure and I'm looking at it and then it's in Oklahoma City. Wait, why are they taking it to Memphis? Dang it. It was supposed to be here Friday. I think somebody screwed up and then went to Memphis and went to Dallas. Now it's back in Oklahoma City and then it went to Norman and it says it's out for delivery and I've got the front door open, like waiting for some gates open. Like I'm waiting. Anyway. So Total Saddle Fit makes the stirrup leathers that I have to have for this saddle. It's like I have to, Glenn. It's for safety. Okay.
That's right.
Do you know why? It'll keep me safer because there's a wide body design on the stirrup, brings an incredible stability to the rider's leg. It makes a smooth transition under the flap. It feels like you have no leathers, but there's some sort of associated black magic that keeps your lower leg still. It really makes a difference. I have it on the dressage saddle that I have, and I am just unbelievably pleased. Here's the deal. They are guaranteed to improve your ride, or Total Saddle Fit will give you a refund and pay shipping both ways. You have nothing to lose. So you can go check out TotalSaddleFit.com to get your pair now. And Total Saddle Fit and I are going to be spending some time together here after the show. Once my damn saddle comes, supposed to be here Friday, send it to Memphis. So I'm like,
So now you didn't really, did Chad agree to this or did you just buy it and then say, doesn't matter?
Well, listen,
the fight last, by the way?
It's not a fight. It was a discussion. And we may have made some agreements.
Tell me there's a man cave in this new house that is Chad and Lucas's room that you're not allowed.
We made some arrangements, Glenn, that I'm not going to discuss on the show, but there are some things that I will have to give up in the future.
And you know he has those.
Remember that
down,
car
right?
That I was.
You know he has
that
written down. He's going to check those babies off one at a time.
And he's like, damn it, your birthday is next month. You never let me get you anything nice. I'm like, well, I need it now, and it's for sale now. And if I don't jump on it now, it's going to get sold. And guess what? I jumped on it. I'm like, yes, I want it. And then like 5 minutes later, there's like 100 comments. We'll take the saddle because it was such a deal. And I'm like, I already got it.
I'm so glad I'm your work husband and not your real husband. What a pain in the ass you would be. Hey, over the weekend, there was a big competition. Burley happened over the weekend. I know a lot of you watched it, watched the cross country happen. Oh, Buck Davison took a spill. Did you see that?
Somebody said, be careful watching it.
It was tough. He was fine. Everybody was fine, but, he did take a spill. And it was dramatic. But it was fine. Everybody was fine, but it's not the first time Buck's fallen off. So he knows the duck and roll. He did it well. But Pippa Funnel, who did, after 16 years, won her second time.
Yay!
So she was 16 years. She led from start to finish on her 11-year-old gelding, Grafton Street. And she did so well. She never faltered. She's 50 years old now, Pippa. She's my age, and it seems like she's, you know, I do remember her from, I just thought she was younger than that. She's out there still winning competitions. This is her sixth five-star victory. She had two European individual titles, three Olympic medals, and eventing's prestigious Rolex Grand Slam. You remember that from 16 years ago as well. I don't know if you saw her when she was, I remember watching her when she was at Rolex then. The Grand Slam year. So
I've always been a fan of hers. I mean, she's just a great lady, great horse person. And I've known some people that have trained with her and just absolutely love her. Like, even when they leave as working students, they still love her. So that says something.
Yeah. So congratulations to her and her team. She did very well. So it was a lot of fun to watch. I did get to watch some of the cross country. And also Americans, as far as the Americans, how they did, Lauren Kiefer took ninth place, actually had a perfect clear round in jumping to go from 11th to 9th.
USA, USA.
And that was on Vermeculus, who has been around a while. So Andrea Baxter came in 12th place on her 14-year-old Thoroughbred. So yeah. That was nice to see. One of the hosts of the Eventing Radio Show, Liz Holiday Sharp on De Niro Z, came in 15th. She came in 15th place on that horse.
Those are and really then, great placings for the Americans.
Yeah, and she came in 18th. She got a 15th and an 18th. She was in the top 10 after dressage. She did very well in dressage. Will Coleman and Tight Lines came in 25th, and then Buck took a spill. So
how many were there in Burley?
Total riders? I don't know. It seemed like a lot.
There's always a lot.
And boy, you know, when you watch the video, God, I would love to see that place sometime. It is so beautiful.
I know.
It is really one of the most beautiful settings for a show ever. Zara Phillips, who is now Zara Tyndall, took a spill too. She's fine. No. But apparently her husband is it daughter or son, was right there watching, and she took a spill, but she was fine. Vest went off. They had some great video of that. It really showed how quickly those vests work and how many people have been saved by them. So good for them, and congratulations to everybody over at Burley. Now, really quick.
Man, you are one pathetic loser.
So I couldn't decide which one of these to do, so I'll do them both quick. I have a couple of losers. You remember years ago, it seemed like every day we were covering stories of hair getting cut off horses, tails getting whacked, manes getting whacked in the middle of the night.
Yes.
And then it went away for a while. We haven't seen a lot of stories. Well, back in Alaska, Fairbanks, Alaska, which is like as far as you can go in the north of Alaska, they had reports of troopers were called out because somebody's horses had their mane and tail cut off. And apparently they said it's become a thing up there. Troopers said this is not the first case, and they're actively seeking whoever is cutting the hair off of the horses up there in Fairbanks. So that's my number one loser, is the person that's doing that. I thought that was over, but apparently it's still a thing. And then the second one, have you ever been to the Denver International Airport?
I've been probably in it, but I've never been outside it.
Well, if you go outside it, you can't miss this horse sculpture that's supposed to be a Mustang. It's this big blue horse sculpture that's supposed to be a Mustang rearing up, and it has the nickname Blucifer for a lot of reasons. But apparently, Blucifer was spray painted over the weekend, and it's not a surprise because. Really, the people of Denver are not really excited about Blucifer. Now, I asked you before the show to take a look at the picture of Blucifer, and he's kind of a creepy-looking horse.
So, this is how big is this thing?
It's pretty big. And it sits out by itself, so it looks bigger.
I looked up Blucifer, and it's this giant blue rearing horse that, if he had landed, his cannon bones on his front legs are twice as long as the cannon bones on the hind legs. He would be so downhill. This is not a Mustang that would survive in the wild. Plus, I don't think that the demon red eyes that are light up demon
there
red eyes.
There are more memes
out.
About this horse with lasers coming out of its eyes. And
it's called Blue Mustang by sculptor Luis. I start reading about it. Luis Jimenez at the Denver International Airport. Also called Blucifer and Satan Steed and Blue Devil Horse. I don't know if he meant for those to be the names, but and then I start reading. I'm like, this is so fascinating. And then in 2006, did you know that Blucifer killed him?
No,
he was killed when a section of the unfinished horse fell from a hoist in his studio, and then his sons had to finish it. There's something wrong.
I think I would have put this project on hold at that point. But then they probably felt obligated to finish it.
To honor Dad. I don't know.
I think
maybe
Blucifer has the right name, and I can see why the people of Denver are a little concerned, actually. It's kind of had a poor history over its
Vandals time. Tagged it, huh? They were trying
to figure out how to get the orange spray paint off of it. You know, they showed a picture of it. I couldn't even see it. So I think it was pretty light. And they said it really didn't say anything. They didn't see a message in the spray paint. So, I don't know. Blucifer is still got a curse, I think.
If you Google image Blucifer, some really weird things come up, just so you know. Let's get out of that one.
Yeah, let's get out of that one. How about we get out of that one and we head over to...
Yeah, so if you have a horse and you have a problem with your horse, it is a first world problem, just to get that out of the way right now. And these first world problems are submitted by our auditors. And I ask on Sunday nights, just like, hey, what's your equestrian first world problem? I know you need a vent. And these are things that people actually have come up with on their own. I did not make these up. These are the real sad, emotional problems that our listeners have. Let me start with Hillary. And this is as FWP as it gets. Hillary says, my horse stole my pumpkin spice muffin while I was picking his feet, and I was really looking forward to eating it. Now, was that before or after you washed your hands from picking your horse's feet? She wasn't going to wash. She's a horse.
No, she wasn't.
Another of the top ones from the entire list. I'm bringing the probably the two best first. Megan says, I cannot go on the HRN cruise because me and my girlfriend are going to Hawaii instead for 12 days. First class.
Ugh. She just told me this last week, by the way. So she was supposed to be our cruise director. And I said, you're giving that up to go to Hawaii for 12 days. Where are your priorities?
Apparently. Never going to happen. Yeah, no. Okay. The next one comes from Desiree. And she says, I just joined a rider's club that like has a lovely cross-country course to school on. But I can't go today because the sheets and the counters in my living quarter, my sheets and blankets have to be changed. In your living quarters trailer. I can't go. I'm so busy. I have to like wash my hair. Zach says, I was looking forward to a full week of riding. This is kind of a real problem for somebody. But Dorian didn't smack Cape Hatteras is hard enough. So now I have to still go on this stupid beach vacation with my wife because she wants to visit all the Nicholas Spark sites in North Carolina. Oh my God.
What?
Nicholas Sparks is an author and he writes all sorts of like romance novels, but spoiler alert, somebody dies in every book. But they're all like it's like the woman that's like gone to find herself and
that
she's walking on the beach.
Husband hell.
She's walking on the beach in North Carolina, looking off in the distance while the wind's blowing and the rain's starting to come down. And there's a man that's like walking on the beach, finding himself with
the
rain coming down.
Dude, you have to find a way to have her go with a girlfriend. You have to find a way to get the hell out of that one. Oh my
come on, Zach.
Oh my God. That's torture.
You took your wife to all the Downton Abbey places.
Yeah, but I love Downton Abbey.
I know. Does she?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
What if she didn't? You'd still want to go.
We're going. The movie's coming out here next week. We have our tickets already. We're going.
Leslie said that her horse's feed is on sale, but I don't get paid until next week. God, you can take advantage of sale.
That's a real problem.
That's what you have credit cards for. Yeah. Don't take my word for that. I was never allowed to have credit cards. I still don't. Marie says, my dog gets like so dirty when we go on trail rides with my entire family. I cannot believe you get to go on trail rides with your whole family. That'd be so cool. There's like a little, it's like a far off picture of a really filthy dog and this cute little thing with a little pink helmet on a little pink pony. So
I'm going to go back to the credit card thing. So do you think if we took horse women as a whole, the group of horse women, that the average credit score would be lower than the rest of the population because they have spent way too much on credit cards?
I do not resemble that remark because when I was younger and didn't have actual, just being younger, I was 18. I did not get a credit card because I knew that I could not be responsible with a credit card. I would just rack up debt. So I did not get it. Now, it turns out my roommate at the time later on, she would just go to the mall and buy makeup and buy stuff for a horse. And she's had no problem spending money. And she worked at the same place I worked. Yeah. Turns out she has like $25,000 worth of credit card debt. And she was just racking it up so then she could declare bankruptcy. But she also was my roommate and had a boyfriend that lived in England and stuck me with about $900 worth of long distance charges. Cause that was back when
remember how expensive it used to be back then? You do. Obviously.
Oh yeah, it was like a dollar a minute, and she would like have phone whatever with him, and I got stuck with the bill. So that's the only reason my credit ever took a ding was because I couldn't pay that. But yeah, credit card debt and horse checks has got to be synonymous.
That has to go together. Yeah, that's the reason. By the way, I can't go near a casino because I know that would be a problem.
I
cannot unless I'm. And when I do, I just bring cash for that amount and leave my wallet in somewhere else. Like Jennifer, so I can't get more out. I know that gambling could be a problem, so I just limit myself.
Yeah, that's terrible.
You and I would have that same problem though if we ever played blackjack all night.
Oh my god, I'd be like all of a sudden we'd have cigars and be drinking whiskey, rolling dice. I'd be back. Come on, Glenn. All in. I feel like I share too much about myself.
Our ATM, the bank account would be empty. They'd be calling the fraud department because we'd been making so many withdrawals. It'd be bad. That's the reason Jennifer has never let us be together.
True. Heather says, it was my daughter's first dressage show over the weekend, and I forgot to get a hairnet for her. And I couldn't find one online that would get here in time. So I actually had to drive all the way to the tech store. Oh, I get it. I'm like, if I don't need it in 2 days, I just don't get it. Like, it's just going to take 2 days. Just plan ahead. Angie says, we went away for our first camping trip with the horses, and the horses had such a good time, and they got on so well, and they were literally like joined at the hip, and now they're home in their respective paddocks, and they're miserable. They love each other. You got to keep doing that though, because then they'll get too hard bound.
Yeah.
Chantel says, I realize that if I put as much observation and analyzing into my job as I do my horse's pooping habits, I would totally be CEO. Oh God. Let me go to Laureen. How are we doing on time? Do we have Leslie today?
No, Leslie. Okay.
We're not in any hurry.
Nope.
Okay, well then I can back up a little bit because Mogi is going to make you want to punch her. She says, we won so many ribbons at Sport Horse Nationals that when the wind came up in the morning, it spooked the horses to like no end. And then it ended up taking like the rest of the day for the horses to settle because we had to pin all the ribbons to our stall drapes. Shit.
First of all,
I'm like,
she
so
has stall drapes. So there's
that. I know,
that.
Right? I'm like so successful. Okay. Ugh, first world problem. Sharon says, I got a big bright red truck with chrome Labor Day weekend, and now I have to get an aluminum trailer with red highlights to match it. Obviously, you don't want to not match your truck and your trailer. Unless you're everybody. Linda says, my horse and I went to our first show
and
he seems to like it.
The matching truck and trailers pull in. What do you think?
Can I just tell you that I have a silver trailer, one of those aluminum ones. And for the first time ever, I have a silver truck.
Yeah, and but it's I mean, like, the ones that have the painted, stripes and it flows through from the truck to the trailer.
Yeah, I don't know those people. I don't know them. If you have that, I would like to see a picture of it, and I would like to reach out and be your friend. Carrie says, I had a show today, and it went well, and we like won and stuff, but oh my God, it's like so hard to get your damn pants down to pee with all the layers of show clothes, and then the clothes on top of your show clothes to keep show clothes clean. Ugh. And then, let me add to that, when you are sweaty and you're trying to pull up bulky breeches on your sweaty, sticky butt. Oh my God, it's the worst. Loreen says, and remember, Loreen is from Brooklyn. And so Loreen says, I was trying to save up for a new saddle, but my job told me that I have to start dressing like more professionally. So now I have to spend my money on like buying new clothes. Okay. How crappy are you dressing when your boss is like, you got to really go
There's
to the
store.
There's
a horse girl for you showing up. And showing up in the ripped up jeans and stains everywhere. She bought it. She got everything from Goodwill.
They're like, you cannot come up in here dressing like that. This is a place of business. Okay. Finally, the last one. Brenda. She says, and this is really sad, I did not get to watch my trainer show my first level dressage horse because I was busy getting my third level horse ready to show. Shut up, Brenda. You and Mogi were probably in the same show.
Yeah. With their stacks of ribbons. Everywhere.
I'm like trying to get my horse not to, you know, murder me at a horse show because there's all new things around. And here you are like, oh, God, I'm so successful and talented. And you're probably, let me add to that, you're all probably pretty.
So,
God!
So I was thinking about all you horse people who spend, what is it, $1,000 to go to a show nowadays?
By the way, I love you all. These are so great. Yeah. I make fun of you, but only because it's part of the segment. I think you're all awesome.
Well,
and thank
they,
you for
understand
sharing
you're going to or they wouldn't post it. By the way, that's posted in our auditor room. You can become an auditor by going to horseradionetwork.com, clicking on the auditor banners. For little as a dollar a month, you too can join the party. Matter of fact, I'm going to be doing a State of the Union address tonight and 7:30 in the auditor room. When I announced it last night, apparently scared the crap out of people. They thought we were going out of business.
Oh, I was totally like, I'm fired. He's like, I'm fired.
No, I just thought we should give the auditors more love and they get behind the scenes before things happen. So anyway, that's going
to
happen.
They get to know first and foremost if I've been fired before even I know.
That's right. I'm going to tell everybody before I tell you.
Hey, guys, we're going to let Jimmy go. Don't tell her. Okay, thanks.
So that's going to be happening tonight in the auditor room at 7:30. Nothing drastic. There's nothing. It's just.
It's like a guy that says to you, you're like, he's like, just so you know, we really need to talk.
I know.
And you're
like, oh my God,
I'm getting divorced. He's like, hey, can you pick up your towel off the floor after you shower? You're like, I will hate you forever for doing that to me.
Now, if I ever say, we're going to have a meeting tonight in the auditor room at 7:30 and Jamie's on the call, then you'll know something's wrong because she would never do that. So,
publicly fire me.
Yeah, that's
That'd
right.
Be great. That
would be the reason that happens. And now I totally forgot what I was going to say earlier. Totally
anyway, great. I was just going to tell you that I love all of you for submitting your first world problems because, like, oh my God, I'm getting my new saddle today and I don't have any stirrup leathers for it.
He'll get them out to you in no time.
Yep, I'm on right
you
now.
You have to order them right now. They'll be here in 2 days and you'll be able to. Is it a monoflap or is it a.
Of course, it's a monoflap. Mm. That's like the way to go.
It is.
Yeah, so I will have the weird news stories for you on Wednesday because one just popped up and I found it awesome. So tune in Wednesday. And Glenn, I might need Friday off. There is a Paul's Valley Mustang Adoption Center, which is just south of Oklahoma, south of Norman.
Wait a minute.
It's about
40
minutes south.
Stop. Hello? Okay, Chad, I'll let her know. You're working Friday. I'm not allowed to give you off.
There is an open house down at Paul's Valley, but it's 8 a.m. to noon, and I have
and
to go.
I'm not allowed to give you off. You have
He's
to work
coming
on Friday.
With me, Glenn.
Yeah,
I, really
I don't think
go.
So.
There's like demonstrations and there's adoptions, and I really, really, really need to go to Paul's Valley Adoption Center for Mustangs
Declined.
It's just an open house just to see what goes on down there.
Yeah,
I really, the transparency of the BLM is important to me, Glenn.
Yeah, I know. All right, tomorrow we have endurance with Karen. Karen will be here for the endurance episode, so look for that. And then, of course, we'll have the rest of the week. Get your, yes, I should be here on Friday, so we'll finally give away the prize and announce new prizes this Friday for really bad ads. So get your ads into Jennifer.
And this Friday is the prize for Road to the Horse, right?
Yes, we'll be giving the Road to the Horse tickets away. Now, let me just say something. Jennifer put up on Friday some really old shows. She, because we weren't here, she had to put something together quickly. So she picked from the actual first Really Bad Ads we did. I don't even remember when that was. But there were several comments from new listeners who said, God, your sound sucked back then.
Yes.
Yes.
It's me now.
It sucked it like for about AM 5 years. It was pretty bad till we finally, but that's the only option we had back then. It was pretty new in the podcasting space. There weren't a lot of tools.
Nobody did live podcasts. No. Like that was ridiculous. Who would do something like that?
So we used the one service that did it, and they sucked the entire time we were there. So we finally figured out how to do it ourselves, but it takes like 5 computers to get it done now. So y'all should appreciate how much better it is now than it was then. So if you think it's pretty crappy now, it was really crappy back then.
Okay, I'm going to leave you with this. Okay, yes. So I'm already on Amazon looking at stirrups because I want to see all the different varieties of stirrups like that there are. And I went to Amazon and I put in stirrups and... Oh. Don't do that.
Don't do that. Are they in the adult-only section?
There's a book called Confessions of a Male Gynecologist. A view from the other side of the stirrups.
Oh!
I don't want to know what the view is from the other side of the stirrups.
Is there really a book that got published called that?
Confessions of a Male Gynecologist, A View from the Other Side of the Stirrups by Andre Bellinger, MD. I don't want to know what your view was like from the other side of the stirrups. You're a horrible person writing that.
He's friends with Dr. Pimple Popper.
Somebody is like, oh my God, that's my doctor. Like somebody just heard his name. Like,
yeah, isn't there a
client
privilege relationship there? maybe it's made up. It's not real stories.
It's free on Kindle.
It's free on
unlimited
Kindle.
Limited membership. Oh my God. I'm glad.
And on that note.
Spay, neuter, geld.
Oh, good. Say that right after that. All right, we're out.
Glad that was funny. It was like, funny. I could either